Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Rockville, Maryland, and earned a bachelor's degree in physical education from George Washington University. For the last 27 years, he has taught basketball and life's lessons to young men at the collegiate level. For 9 years, he was an assistant coach at Duke under Coach K, and since 2000, he's been the head coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish basketball team. The National Coach of the Year in 2011, his name, Coach Mike Bray. And I'm Jack Brasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Brasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Coach Mike Bray, the head basketball coach of the Fighting Irish since 2000. Coach, welcome. A real honor to have you.
And it's an honor to be with you, Jack, and I enjoyed my time with you at Dick Vitale's event in Sarasota.
You named it after you. So, can you start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Well, you know, I'm certainly a product of my environment, Jack. You know, I was raised by teachers and coaches. My father was a physical education major and coached many different sports, and then became the athletic director at a high school in Rockville. And the nice thing about that is I always had the keys to a gym, and we could always get in a gym. My mother, an amazingly accomplished athlete, swam in the 56 Olympics, was an All-American, won the Pan Am Games a couple times. Back when women's athletics in the 50s were basically kind of non-existent, her father was ahead of his time, sending her to New York to train with the only coach that was training women at that time. So both of them, my mom then was a women's swimming coach at George Washington University when I was a student athlete there at GW. So, you know, the neat thing, the dinner table talk at our house, Jack, was, you know, kids, situations, teams. You know, I was around great teachers and communicators. Both of my parents are just great communicators, and I saw the impact they had on kids when they would come back or would say to me, God, you know, I loved your dad as a teacher, or man, your mom helped me so much and had a big impact on me. That really was a huge influence on kind of naturally going into the field of education. My sister, who's 3 years younger, has followed me as an educator at an elementary school in Orlando, and my brother is in college athletics as an assistant AD at the University of Central Florida. But that childhood teaching, coaching, listening to them, watching them interact, seeing the bonds and the relationships they had with young people, that was the most powerful impact on me and decisions I made, saying, I want to be an educator as well.
Coach Bray, in your day, how good were you with the rock?
You know what? I made myself a pretty good player, Jack. I had the opportunity to play for Morgan Wooten, a Hall of Famer and the ultimate teacher coach at DeMappa High School in Hyattsville, Maryland. I was a small point guard who understood the game, got the ball to people, was hopefully a coach on the floor, made myself a better athlete, and I really had to work to become a Division I basketball player, and was fortunate enough, started at Northwestern Louisiana and then finished at George Washington, and really had a really fun career. I got to play. You know, I was around a couple different coaches in my college career. I didn't like having to change coaches, but, you know, it really helped me in what I do now because I was exposed to some different philosophies. But I was actually I was the MVP my senior year, and that was it for me. After my senior year at GW, Jack, I really wanted to get into coaching and teaching, and I went right back to DeMatha High School as a history teacher and the JV basketball coach.
And for 5 seasons, you helped out the legendary coach Morgan Wooten. Talk to us, what's made Morgan Wooten so special?
You know, he is he's the ultimate teacher, and there's lessons I learned from him as a player and then as his assistant. I use them every day here at Notre Dame. The ultimate communicator, the ultimate guy at getting a group to kind of take ownership of itself and get a team to run itself and maybe set its own goals. An excellent motivator, a dynamic guy. And for me to be around him, I started with my influence with Morgan Wooten started at 9 years old at his basketball camp. I would go to the Metropolitan Area Basketball School in St. John's High School in Washington, D.C. Morgan Wooten and Joe Gallagher, the St. John's coach, ran it. But Morgan would lecture, and that's where I really said, God, I want to play for this guy. And I went 20 miles from Rockville, Maryland to Hyattsville, which was unheard of in the late mid-70s. There was, the transportation was not as easy to carpool over there because I wanted to play for coach. And it was an amazing experience. And then I had the opportunity to come back and be his right-hand man, be with him every day, watch him handle stuff, him then delegate things to me, which gave me a lot of confidence as a young teacher and coach to have Morgan Wooten say, Mike, why don't you handle this? Why don't you run this part of practice? Still a great mentor and friend and really follows our program closely.
Coach Bray, talk to us about the job our high school coaches do for our young people in America today.
Well, a high school coach, as Morgan Wooten used to say and still says, and it's a great quote, students will forget their teachers. They'll never forget their coach. The impact that high school coaches have in that competitive environment, dealing with disappointment, dealing with loss, dealing with not playing enough, there's emotions and bonds forged there, and you have a young person at such a pivotal time. I'm always amazed that the kids that I had on my JV team still stay in touch with me and follow our program, and every now and then I'll run into them when we're playing back in the DC area or when I'm recruiting. They'll say, you remember when you said this to me? And I didn't, but my God, did it have an impact? Because here it is 30 years later, and the young man's bringing it up. So I think I've learned that I'm always very, very careful, about what you say and how you handle young people. But, the high school coaches, they're heroes. First of all, they definitely don't get compensated financially how they should. They're usually losing money, traveling, driving kids around it. And I did that. I love that. I'm driving guys home and into D.C. and Northern Virginia, and I really took a lot of pride in that my history classroom was a stopover for guys on the team. In between classes, they come by, check in, coach, may need to talk, just want to check in. I felt that was really an important role when I was with Morgan, that these guys would come by. And Danny Ferry's case, he would always come by and borrow lunch money because he had to eat two lunches and he only brought money for one. I told him I'm going to charge him interest on that at some point. But you have them at such a pivotal age. And I have the utmost respect for high school teachers and coaches because my parents were that, and that's how I got my start.
We're talking to Coach Mike Bray. When we come back, we'll ask him how he got hired by Duke and Coach K. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Coach Mike Bray, who in 1987 was hired by Coach K at Duke. How did that happen?
I tell you what, that was, people scratched their head and said, how in the heck can a high school assistant end up at Duke University? Well, you start with, when you're working for Morgan Wooten, you're really not working in your typical high school program. It was really a program that was run very much like a college program. And one of the great endorsements, I told you before how Morgan would let me run parts of practice. Well, we had a lot of good players. Danny Ferry was one of them. Everybody was in that gym, from Mike Krzyzewski to Dean Smith to Terry Holland to Lefty Giselle, to recruit Danny and watch a practice. And then all of a sudden, I'd run 20 minutes of practice at age 25. What a great endorsement and a tryout for me as a young coach to have those guys around watching me. Also, Morgan had gotten to the point where he was tired of handling the recruiting, setting up the home visits, setting up the phone calls with the prospects at DeMatha. So I did all that. So I developed really close relationships with the assistant coaches at Duke and Maryland and, the Big East and the ACC school. So it was an amazing thing to, exposure for me. And I was lucky in that when Mike lost Chuck Swenson to be the head coach at William and Mary. Certainly, they knew me very well. Ferry had just finished his sophomore year down there, and I think he needed Mike wanted a young guy that was going to be with him a while, not a guy that wanted to come for a year or two and try and get a head job. I certainly wasn't going to be ready to do that. And the timing was great. He had had a relationship with me. He had seen me teach. I think he had a lot of feedback from Danny on how my relationship with players and things like that. Bob Bender, the assistant who was moving up as the top assistant, really endorsed me. I think he wanted to work with me. And it just, you know, it was a grand slam, you know, to go from DeMatha there. But I really felt prepared because I had been with Morgan for five seasons. And then I was with Mike for eight. And the one thing Mike told me, I'll never forget on the interview, he said, I don't want anybody coming down here, don't want to be a head coach. You're going to get your hands on everything. And he so prepared me to become a head coach then in 1995 at the University of Delaware.
Let's go back to April 92, the East Regional NCAA Final, pits Duke against Kentucky. Duke trailed 103-102 with 2.1 seconds to go. ESPN called it one of the top 10 events in the last 25 years. Sports Illustrated deemed it the greatest college basketball game of all time. Mike Bray, what happened?
I tell you what, it was. And it was in the old Spectrum, which has now been blown up and leveled up there in Philly off of Broad Street. It was an amazing game. It looked like we had total control of it. Rick Pitino had done a fabulous job with an undermanned Kentucky team, kind of bringing the program back. Sean Woods, who now coaches and has coached a couple teams here when they've come to play at Notre Dame, hit an unbelievable layup runner over the top of Christian Laettner. Almost impossible shot. But the thing that you go back through, and Laettner was fabulous in that game. He had not missed a shot. He was 9 for 9 going into the shot to, you know, to win it. And he obviously ended up 10 for 10. But Woods hits the shot. Laettner's presence of mind, he was such a focused, you know, big game guy, he immediately calls the timeout. You know, he's quick enough to know timeout. 2 point something left, and as they're coming to the bench, it doesn't look very good, you know, after Woods' shot. Tommy Amaker and I, now the coach at Harvard and a great friend, we're hearing Mike as he gets into the huddle saying, we're going to win this. We're going to win this. And Tommy and I, still kid to this day, we're looking at each other like, you know what? Is he looking at the scoreboard and the time? This looks pretty tough. But Mike's first half of the timeout, which was, he was the master psychologist, was, we're going to win the game. We're going to win the game. And he put together a play that we had run before against Wake Forest, but Grant threw a little bit of a curveball. The thing went out of bounds. Christian Laettner caught it and stepped on the sideline. We lost to Wake Forest. So it wasn't a play that was unfamiliar. And I think what Mike, you know, Mike said, Grant, you got to throw a fastball this time. Can't throw a curve. And I remember he asked Grant, can you make the pass? And Grant said, yeah, I can make the pass. And Christian, can you make the catch down there? And I can make the catch. And he just wanted people to reaffirm verbally, and he's a master of that. And so, you know, it's one of the great plays where Laettner makes that pass, Hill makes the pass, Laettner makes the catch in the midst of two bodies, and he's so poised, he has the presence of mind knowing he puts it down on the floor with his right hand, fakes right, comes back to his left, and shoots a 15-foot fadeaway for the win. Little did we know that was 10 for 10 for the game. And just an amazing finish. It was, I would agree that it has to be one of the best college basketball games of all time. I don't think we knew what we were in, you know, until we got home a couple days later and digested it, and we were heading to the Final Four. It was like, my God, that was unbelievable what we just experienced in Philadelphia. And people still tell me today, go, I'll tell you where I was when Laettner hit the shot. I was here. I was there. I was at this bar. We were high-fiving. It's an historic moment, and I'm honored to have been a part of it.
And then you went on to beat Indiana in the semifinals, and then you beat the Wolverines in the finals that year.
Yes, Indiana in the semis and the Fab Five in the finals in 92. You know, you ended up winning it. And that was back-to-back. That was the second championship to be there. You know, I was really, Jack, you know, I was there 8 seasons. We went to 6 Final Fours and played in 4 national championship games and won 2 of them. I was spoiled. You know, I my first year in college coaching, when I went down there, we go right to the Final Four, and I remember telling my wife, I said, do you understand how many guys never get to coach as a head or an assistant coach in the Final Four? And then we went to five more in a row. My wife was thinking, like, oh, we just do this all the time. It was an amazing run, an unbelievable time. Mike Kay and I, when we're on the road in the summer recruiting, we'll be sitting next to each other and we'll reminisce because it was a run that was off the charts. And, again, I'm so thankful that Mike gave me the opportunity because he took some heat. You know, you're hiring a high school assistant. You're not even hiring a high school head coach. And I'll always be indebted to him, you know, taking a chance on me and giving me the opportunity to work with him and learn from him and grow.
You get your chance as the head coach, 1995, University of Delaware. Tell us about the 5 years you were at Delaware.
You know, it was an awesome place to start my college head coaching career because it was back in the Mid-Atlantic. It was kind of my home territory. I had developed relationships with high school coaches, and I think a lot of them wanted to help me. Like, we're going to help Mike. We're going to help him. We're going to send him a player. We're going to, you know, he treated us well when he was an assistant at Duke, and we're going to help him. And I really benefited from that. And I love the fact that all I did is get in a car and drive to D.C., Baltimore, Philly, and New York and Jersey. And within 2 hours of the Newark, Delaware campus, I could get into all the players I needed. And we had 2 years where we were kind of building it. And then we won the championship in my third and fourth year and went to the NCAA tournament. That was amazingly exciting. We had kind of a newer facility there, the Bob Carpenter Center, sat 5,000. It became the toughest ticket around in the state. The president there, Dr. David Rozelle, I'll always be indebted to. He was the former president of Kentucky when they had their probation issues and Eddie Sutton left. But he was a hoops guy. He was a basketball guy. And he would spend more time with me talking basketball, amazingly supportive of me, and gave me confidence as a young head coach. We won it for 2 years. We never won a first-round NCAA tournament game, but we came close against Tennessee. And then my last year, we went to the NIT. Hofstra knocked us off. And, you know, I can remember on the bus coming back from the championship game at Hofstra after my fifth year thinking, you know, I think I maybe need the next challenge. And, you know, little did I know that the Notre Dame situation was going to open up again and present itself. But great memories of Newark, Delaware. I still have my beach house in Rehoboth, so I go back there in the summer and I see so many people from my days at Delaware and great, great memories.
We're talking to Coach Mike Bray, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Coach Mike Bray, who was hired to be the Fighting Irish head basketball coach in 2000 and has been there since. Tell us about the University of Notre Dame.
Well, it's an amazingly powerful and special place, and I say that, and it still shocks me with its power and prestige and the respect it generates worldwide, even after 14 years here on a daily basis. It was interesting how I got the job. I tried to get it in 1999, and they hired Matt Daugherty. Interviewed two places, didn't make the cut, went back to Delaware for my fifth year, never thinking that this would open up again. Matt Daugherty was a younger coach, assistant at Kansas. He's probably going to be here a while. Well, he takes the North Carolina job because Roy Williams decides he's not ready to go back to Carolina yet. And the only one in the family was Matt. He had done a really good job here in his 1 year, but he left to go back to Chapel Hill. So here it is, not even a year after didn't make the cut, I get a call again, and I'm back in the mix, and I get the job this time. So it's so crazy how the Roy Williams dominoes, him not taking the North Carolina job, and I still tell him this, so I appreciate you not taking that job because Matt had to take it and I could get the Notre Dame job. So crazy. But, you know, I've been here 14 seasons. I am so honored when people say, hey, that's the Notre Dame coach. Or they come up and go, you know, introduce their son. You know, he's the Notre Dame coach. To have the ND brand next to my name for these past 14 years has been flat out off the charts. And I am so honored to represent this institution. It comes with a lot of responsibility because we do things the right way and we do things in a classy way. And again, I'm honored to represent it. You know, we were Big East, and we made a heck of a we created a heck of an identity in the Big East when I got here. But now we have a new challenge. We're trying to create an identity like we had in the Big East in the ACC. And so it's kind of like another phase of my coaching career. In a lot of ways, it's like taking a new coaching job. This new league, figuring it out, recruiting to it, strategizing to it, learning the other head coaches. So it's almost kind of kind of re-energize me, because it's a whole new league we're learning to negotiate.
For 35 years, Notre Dame was led by the legendary Father Theodore Hesburgh, who in late May turned 97. Tell us about Father Ted.
Well, Father Ted's presence, you can feel on a daily basis around here. And if you look up at Touchdown Jesus, which you can't help but to look if you're on our campus, he's at the top of that where his office is, the Hesburgh Library. I have had a chance, certainly, to interact with him a bunch in my 14 seasons. And now we do an interesting thing once a year, and I'm set up to do it here in the next couple of weeks. Father Ted is very fond of a good cigar. And I get two real good cigars. We go to his office, we smoke a cigar, and I just listen. And I am just amazed as he starts talking about Notre Dame, his career, different things that have happened. And we do that in his office at the top of the library. The first year we did it, I still crack up when I think about it, and again, I'm always intimidated. I'd have to he has to relax me a little bit when you're in his presence. But he's at the end of the thing, I'm kind of loose. And he said, "Mike, there's one thing you can tell people." I said, "What is that, Father Ted?" He said, "You smoked in the library." And so, I look forward to that. We do that annually. He is really plugged in to our program. He's always asking me about how are your kids. He always asks about how are your students. Are they having a good experience? What can we do better? Still at 97, plugged in. And I am just so glad that I came to Notre Dame and was able to have a relationship with such a legendary, graceful soul as Father Ted.
You mentioned the library is named after him. You walk around campus, you see the statues of Newt Rockne, Frank Leahy, Ara Parseghian, Holtz. Mike Bray, have you sat for your statue yet?
Well, the one thing you have to do to get a statue is win a national championship. And we certainly haven't done that yet, but we are striving on a daily basis to do that. But when you do walk around our stadium, and the interesting thing, the office, Jack, that I sit in now was the old football office. So this was the office of Holtz, Dan Devine. They were all era. When Ara comes back to visit in the summer, he'll come down to his old office, and he comes in. He says, "Oh, this was even smaller when I was here. They made it bigger for you, Mike." So I feel like I'm channeling a lot of our great coaches of the past, football guys, because I'm in the old football office here. But I have a relationship with Ara. I have a relationship with Coach Holtz. Those guys come back. And anytime they come back, I always just want to listen and pick their brain. And they've been amazingly, amazingly supportive of me.
You mentioned at the start that we met down in Sarasota on May 16th. That was the 9th annual Dick Vitale Gala for the Jimmy V Foundation. 950 people. They honored you, Nick Saban, Tom Crean. Talk about that night.
What a powerful night. They raised and broke the record, $2 million, 2.1. Their old record was 1.7. $2.1 million for pediatric cancer in one evening. And as I said to the media down there, I always think that there's no way next year can outdo the previous year. And somehow it does and has done it for 9 years. Dick's and Lorraine's energy and passion on this thing are flat out off the charts. He is a driving force on this. And it's just a fun event. And it was really fun to get to know Nick Saban. Tom Crean and I have been close friends in this profession for a long time, but got a chance to spend some time with Nick Saban. Certainly respect all the things he's done. And then there's a good slew of basketball coaches there. We have it gets to be almost like a coaches convention. But it's a fun night. It's for an amazing cause. It's a high energy night. It's an emotional night. But Dick drives the bus, and to raise $2.1 million for pediatric cancer, he made an interesting stat, Jack, and you probably heard it, that only 4% of cancer fundraising goes to pediatric cancer research. And which, you look at the kids that are getting sick with this dreaded disease, and you go, man, that doesn't seem right. And I think that's why he has carried the flag with the Jimmy V Fund, pouring most of it at pediatric cancer research.
In the 9 years, they've raised $150 million for this.
It is amazing what that foundation has done. And as I said in my acceptance speech down there, Jimmy V was a little bit of a mentor to me. I mean, I learned watching him. He was coaching at NC State when I was an assistant at Duke, and he was rolling over there. And he did it a little differently. But as a young assistant, you're trying to learn and steal ideas from everybody. Then he was let go, and you kind of lived in Durham and watched that. And then he was sick and dying in the Duke hospital while I was an assistant. And he used to come over to our practices just to get out of the hospital when he was strong enough. So he really touched me because I saw the highest of highs, the lowest of lows professionally, and then the ultimate low where this dreaded disease got him. And so that he had a big effect on me just living in Raleigh-Durham during that time in Jimmy V's life. But, man, has he turned it into, an unbelievable fundraising effort. And, the speech still lives in infamy. The one he gave at the ESPYs when I don't know how they got him up on stage. He's sick as a dog. But it's just one. I mean, I can watch it. I watch it every year, and I still cry. And I know what's coming next. I was like, God, you get emotional with it. So I'm really honored. We do a lot with Coaches Versus Cancer. I've been involved with that charity since 1995. And here in Notre Dame, we've raised a lot of money. And it's the chosen charity of the National Association of Basketball Coaches. So, my dad is a cancer survivor. So, the cancer fundraising of the Jimmy V, it fits in with what we've been doing and I've been doing here in South Bend.
You're being humble. You and your wife, Tish, since 2002, have raised more than $2 million in the South Bend area for coaches with kicking cancer.
We have, Jack. This community has really rallied. And it's funny. I've been in this town 14 years, and probably not a day goes by if I'm out in the mall or at a restaurant or at the airport, people will come up. Certainly they'll ask about, hey, coach, how do we look for next season? What's our backcourt look like? But you know what? I'll also get as many questions on, coach, I appreciate you doing that Coaches Versus Cancer program. I'm involved in it. I'm a survivor. My dad, I lost my mom. It's just touched everybody. So we will start with all of our fundraising efforts again in early August with some different functions. And we just want to keep – and the nice thing about Coaches Versus Cancer, Jack, 75% of the funds raised here, stay in Michiana. And I think that's very powerful for the people here to know that.
We're talking to Coach Mike Bray, who in 2011 was named National Coach of the Year by Sports Illustrated and the Associated Press. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with the head coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish basketball team, Coach Mike Bray. Coach, one more thing about Vitale. Watching him and the Ritz that Friday night, and then at he and Lorraine's home on Saturday, petitioning and crying, pleading, screaming, he's become a modern-day Jerry Lewis for kids' cancer.
I agree 100%. That's a great comparison. He is the face of it. He has become the face of it. He takes that responsibility amazingly, very seriously. And I think when he wakes up in the morning, the first thing he thinks of now is, what am I doing today to beat, to raise funds for pediatric cancer? I think that's what drives him on a daily basis. And, it's an honor to be around him. I remember watching him speak at a basketball camp when I was in 10th grade at the 5-star basketball camp in Honesdale, Pennsylvania. He was then the coach at the University of Detroit. And you just said, God, this guy's energy. This is something about this guy. And certainly he does so much for college basketball, too. So fitting that he got into the Hall of Fame. Very fitting. He's a great ambassador for college basketball. I think he's really helped push it to the forefront of, you know, a top sporting event, especially March Madness to watch. But, you know, his focus has changed. His mission has changed. It's raising funds for pediatric cancer, and his wife, Lorraine, at his side. They are a dynamic duo in that arena.
Basketball, Mike Bray, has been a huge part of your life. What does basketball teach us about life?
It's a great vehicle, I think. The ability to get yourself in physical shape, to be in good shape, to eat right, to take care of your health. You can't perform on a basketball court athletically unless you are doing something to take care of your body, nutrition, working out, you know, all of the above. The discipline of basketball, having to know that if you're going to improve, you have to do something every day. And the off season may be the most important part of being in the gym to making leaps and improvement. The routine, you know, understanding the routine of coming in, whether it's an individual workout where you're working on your shooting or your ball handling, or a team workout, you know. The strength training now that is incorporated with basketball, getting into the weight room and, you know, building up your body and becoming stronger so you have more endurance and you can go harder and longer. It's a team game, and that's probably the most beautiful thing about it. How to have your teammates back, to chase a common goal together, to pick each other up after tough losses, to watch a group of young people celebrate after a great win. I am so very lucky. You know, as I get into my mid-50s, I am around 18 to 22-year-olds every day, and they give you energy, and they keep me young.
What's the biggest thing you've learned from these young men you've coached these past 27 years?
They really want direction and motivation, and they want you to get on their backsides if they're not performing. They need it, they want it, and they want relationships with their teacher, their coach. One of the things that I've prided myself on working on is really having deep relationships with my guys. As a basketball coach with 13 guys, you can do that. I think it's a lot harder to do if you're a football coach and you're managing 100 guys. But with a basketball team, you get to know them. I tell them all the time, I know you like my own son or daughter. I know your body language. I know when you walk into practice if something's wrong. And I take a lot of pride in that, just having them in my office where we're not even talking basketball. I'm talking about their family, talking about whatever, just to communicate and connect. And that I love. I think that's what I will miss when I ever get out of coaching, the relationships with the young people and watching them go through the ups and downs of athletic competition.
What advice, Coach Bray, do you give to moms and dads about raising children today?
You know, give some credit to your young people, your children, that they may be able to make a pretty good decision on what they want to do. And if it's something wholesome and good, support the heck out of them. Support the heck out of them. I wanted to be a basketball player. And my parents were, if that's what he wants, we're going to help him with it. They let me go to DeMatha High School, leave the public school system where they were actually teachers, to go across town to play for Morgan. And again, if it doesn't start with that, I'm not where I'm at. I don't know what I'd be doing. They let me pursue my dream and kept my head up. And I think as parents, you know, if a young person finds something they're passionate about and it's good, it's wholesome, just support the heck out of them. Don't overcoach them. Be a positive. You know, one of the phrases I've used with my staff to use with our players: be a confidence giver, be an energy giver. As the teacher, as a parent, when you can do that, especially the confidence part of it, Jack, keep giving your young people confidence. It's amazing when they start to believe in themselves and their self-esteem gets high, what they can accomplish.
You've been blessed to play for, coach with, coach against many, many Hall of Fame coaches. What do all great coaches, Mike Bray, have in common?
I think they all have an amazingly competitive spirit. And that competitiveness is not just in the games. they have a, I think they live by a theme of compete every day. Right now, we're not in season, but I'm competing every day on the recruiting front, public relations front, fundraising front. You know, you're doing something every day to make yourself and your basketball program better. I also think the really great ones, the Hall of Fame ones, are the ultimate communicators. They're really good at communicating with their young people and getting a group to take ownership of itself.
If a young person thinks he or she would love to be a coach, how do they get started?
You know, I get that question every off season, Jack. Got kids who come to me, I want to coach. What do? I'm a senior in high school. Well, the one thing I would do is, in the summers, try and get around some basketball camps. Try and work a couple university basketball camps, Michigan State, Michigan, Notre Dame, Central Michigan, Toledo, you know, just to name a few in our area. Try and get to some camps and be around the staff, because many of them are other high school coaches that you can learn from. You're going to be around the actual, you know, Notre Dame or Michigan staff. Get to know those assistants. Those were the greatest days for me, coming back and working and running the Metropolitan Area Basketball School, which was Coach Wooten's camp when I was in college, to have to get up and teach every day a fundamental, to work with a group. I think that's your best way. Can you get involved then in the winter helping with a high school program? Maybe volunteering. If you're still in college, you volunteer and help out coach a little bit. There's so much going on with AAU summer basketball. Can you volunteer in one of those programs? Almost every town has an AAU team, summer team or two, and so that's what I would research for a young person moving forward.
As our time winds down, what advice would you give to our young listeners?
Follow your dream, man. I mean, I always thought I'd just be a high school coach. You know, my parents were high school teachers. I was influenced by Morgan Wooten, which would have been fine. And you know, I kind of had this thing, I want to try college. I want to try it. I was a little anxious about it, a little nervous. High school coaching would have been a safer thing, and I kind of went for it, and I ended up coaching at the University of Notre Dame, which is an absolute dream come true. But go for it. Don't hold back. Follow your dreams.
Coach Mike Bray, you've gone for it. Keep encouraging our young, and best of luck this coming season.
Jack, thank you so much. Honor to be on your program.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.